Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Reality Talk with Jackson, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of reality TV. Today, I have a very special guest joining us. He's a true superstar who rose to fame as the winner in season 2 of Claim to Fame on ABC. Please give a warm welcome to Gabriel Cannon. I'll be chatting with Gabriel today about his experience on the show, his journey to success, what he's been up to since the show, and what it's really like being the brother of Nick Cannon. Get ready for an exciting and inspiring conversation with Gabriel. Without further ado, here is my interview with Gabriel Cannon. I hope you guys enjoy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for bearing with me and being so flexible.
Man, same. Man, I be trying to juggle a lot. So it's like, I know I be forgetting, like, oh man.
You're good. How have you been? How have your holidays and everything been?
Oh man, it's been busy. The road's been packed, but it's been good. You know, I just released a single on Christmas Eve. So,
oh wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh, what is it called?
It's called the Gray Area.
Okay. Area. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, you have been busy then.
Man, been trying to work, man. Got to strike while the iron's hot.
That is true. Well, that's a good thing. Well, again, congrats on winning Claim to Fame and all of that experience. That's crazy.
Man, God is good, man.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I loved you on the show. So I knew I had to chat with you, and I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you're busy, but again, thank you for doing this.
Oh no, it's all good. If you hear some noise, I got a lot of people at the house. I try to close the door, tell everybody to be quiet. There's a bunch of kids downstairs. So
oh, yeah. You're fine. No, I don't hear anything. No, you're good. But to start with, I'm curious, so how did the opportunity for doing Claim to Fame come about for you?
Man, I was scrolling like we all do. And went in my DMs and I got a message in my DMs, and it was talking about a show, and I kind of had to slow down and read it again and make sure I was reading what I was reading. And I got excited. I replied to it like, man, y'all talking about me? What's happening? I'm ready, baby. Let's go. And so, wow. Yeah, the casting directors reached out to me, and I did a few auditions, you know, virtually. And, you know, they had me on a little waiting period. I was able to go back and watch season 1 and just had my fingers crossed until I got that final call.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. So you didn't apply after like watching the first season or anything like that. So you had to watch it after they approached you.
Yeah. I didn't know it existed. I think if I seen the first season, I would for sure have probably reached out to them, been in their DMs for sure. Like I said, when I seen the whole concept of the show, I was like, man, this show was made for me, man. I'm ready. Let's go. But it was a blessing for me. It was that I didn't know, and they reached out to me. You know, so yeah, I love exactly how it happened.
That's awesome. Well, no, yeah, it's a great concept for a show, and I'm like, I think it's that's why it's so successful, and it's so every episode keeps you on the edge of your seat. I love it. Yes.
Your seat, huh?
Yes, it does, for sure. You watched a little bit of season 1. Did you identify with any of the people from season 1 after watching, or like, did you get any ideas from that, how you would play the game? Or,
man, no, I identify with everybody. I think I learned something from everybody. Not to cheat.
Yes, that is true.
They're always watching, you know. That was one of the interesting parts of just being a part of the whole process, that, you know, being filmed 24/7, you know, being woken up to, you know, a set light, you know, coming on. Like, it was kind of crazy. But I learned something from everybody. I took notes, you know, and I kind of try to find a balance. I kind of trying to find a bunch of pieces that I could use, and a bunch of whether I was using it for myself or realizing that there are pieces I don't need to use. You know, I think I definitely learned from season one for sure.
Yes. Now, did you have in your mind, because you played the game really well, did you have a strategy going into the show, or did you just kind of go in doing whatever you thought in the moment?
I had a strategy for sure. I had like I would say a two-part strategy. One of them was because I seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire. And you know, in that movie, it was like all of the answers was already inside of him. They already, from some walk where in his life, you know, he seen those answers. He knew those answers. And I was like, you know, just how they reached out to me, that I didn't reach out to ABC about the show. They reached out to me, that I felt it was, like, man, it was a big social game. So I was like, man, I could play this game, man. I kind of felt it was tailor-made for me. So, you know, I kind of went in there with just, you know, whatever I need is already in me. So I didn't really do a pre-studying. I didn't really do a Google search for celebrity relatives or, you know, things like that. I kind of was like, came in there pretty confident that I'll be okay with the information I'm equipped with. But then I went in there understanding that I really don't look like Nick Cannon, you know, look like a football player. Like when I be in a grocery store, people just say, hey, do you play football? And they kind of look at, you know, I'm kind of 6'2" and a half or whatever. And I kind of just knew, like, you know, I'm aware of my stance in life or what people kind of see me as, you know. Grew up as a black man in America. You know, I go in the store sometimes and I show my hands. Like, you don't think I'm stealing. Not that I steal. It's just some people think black people steal.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of, you know where I stand in life and kind of what people's perceptions are, you know. And so I went in there like, yeah, I'm a football player. I kind of dumbed it down a lot to play that jock role, you know what I mean? That I'm here to have a good time, and you know, so yeah, those was kind of really my strategy.
Well, yeah, no, you did good, and people really didn't know who you were related to. So, and you even passed the lie detector test too, which was, that's hard, you know, like other people couldn't even do that. So I thought that was really cool.
I think that was one of the problems. I suppose one of my biggest problems. I'm glad the TV just got it over with. So if you see me sweating, you already, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you're fine.
Like, you ain't musty. You just sweat a lot. you know, definitely. But I think that game was cool too, because it was like, I kind of already knew what people thought. So it was like, I didn't really have to lie or be nervous, because they wasn't really on my trail. They was on a trail. And that trail wasn't really the truth. So it was kind of easy for me to just play into what people kind of was thinking.
Yes, no, for sure. Now, going into the show, did your brother give you any advice? And what was his reaction about you doing the show?
I mean, he didn't really give me any advice. You know, I kind of grew up in Hollywood watching him from behind the scenes my whole life. So, you know, I was kind of equipped for everything. You know, I've been on sets before. I, you know, had to make sure I protected the Cannon name and it make us look crazy in different situations. And, you know, also been groomed to, you know, stand up to the challenge of whatever that might be, you know, from the school of improv, like whatever you throw at us, you got to be ready for, you know, whether that's life, whether that's on a stage. So, you know, and I've already toured with Mariah and done music. So he knew I was kind of ready, because he's threw me in situations before, you know. So his thing is like, you know, it's your time. Go get him. do your thing. I think he was happy I won. Like, it was almost like, you better win. Like, don't go, you ain't going to lose. Or are you like, you know, just testing my, like, what are you going for? Like, you know, making sure, you know, my reasons was right. You know, and like, yeah, just really had his blessings for sure.
Well, yeah, that's awesome. Now, when you first got into the house and you were meeting everyone, who did you connect with from your other cast members immediately? You did. You had a really strong, like, social game. You were really good with a lot of the people. So was there anyone? Yeah.
I mean, I think off bat, of course, you guys seen me and Chris. You know, what they didn't show is that me and Chris was roommates at first. That's kind of where our organic, you know, friendship came. We was in the same room, in a two-man room. And, you know, that first night, everything is new, lights, camera, action, like we here. And, you know, me and this guy's in the room together. So we build a natural, hey, man, as much as we can, let's hold each other down. And that was almost before we could even build other relationships. This is the first night of sleep. Like when you're, you know what I mean? It all is still coming back to you. What's going on? And so, yeah, me and Chris was probably the first relationship we were even able to build, because before that we were, you know, going through the motions, doing our intros, two truths and a lie, and you know what I mean, shots and interviews and all of these things. So when we finally took a deep breath, it was me and Chris, but everybody in the house, you know, you can see I was just floating around. It was from you know, I heard Jane said at the end in the group chat, like, me and her had an alliance, like, for sure. Uh-huh. And they had an alliance with everybody, you know, just because it's like any conversation, you know, my energy was like, hey, man, I'm not here to destroy you. I'm here any way we can build. I know we're challenged, baby, but if you can lean on these shoulders, baby, here go one, here go two. You know, yeah, that's just really my attitude towards life. So I think that really worked in my favor for sure.
It did. No, that's awesome. Now, was there anyone out of your castmates that when you saw them, you were like, oh, I know they're related to this person? Or did you have any ideas that were right, that ended up being right?
No, I didn't really have any right ideas. And they kind of made sure of that, you know, with the producers. They kind of made sure once we got, everybody was revealed and we seen each other and, you know, we finally looked around, they pulled us each to the side like, yo, do you recognize anybody? I think they probably had alternate people waiting in the wing. And, oh. And if you recognize somebody, like, all right, we'll get you up out of here.
Really? Oh, wow.
They made, you know, it's a game show. So there was, you know, lawyers on set and all that, you know, I mean, it was prize money involved. So everything had to be fair and, you know, up. So I didn't really have any right guesses. But if you see the first night, I looked at that board, I was like, there's a president in the house, you know. And I actually thought Chris was probably related. And to me, just on looks, I know it sounds crazy now, but I thought he was related to like a Kennedy or something. Like that looked like
I could see that.
Grandson or somebody, like, you know, and then I looked at the board and it's like, man, I know a president's in the house. And that kind of, you know, Jane took that theory and was like, maybe Jimmy Carter. And, you know, that's how we kind of pegged that with Hugo. But, you know, the initial me saying it was kind of from thinking like, you know, maybe Chris was a Kennedy for sure.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think it's this season. I know the first season, I know they had Simone Biles' sister and she looks just like her. So I know right. That was like a dead giveaway, but this season you guys didn't have anyone, I don't think, that looked, it wasn't like there was like a twin of some, you know, so it was a little bit harder, I think, compared to the first season with that. Cause I remember that was like a dead giveaway.
Right. I mean, Chris definitely looks a whole lot like his father, does. But none of us really, like, you know, initially got that off of looks for sure.
Right. I know I was shocked that you got, it was so hard to guess him, but I guess when you're in that moment,
when did you realize who Chris was?
I realized, I think like the second episode, but I'm a big Donnie. I love Donnie Osmond. Oh. So I didn't know who he was, how he was related to him, but I knew he looked very similar to him. Yes. But I only know that cause I really love Donnie Osmond. So, he's probably the only one that I got other than that. And I knew, I can't remember her name, Eddie Murphy's daughter.
Same.
Uh-huh. I knew her only because I think she had been on another show I had seen. Yeah. So that's the only reason but other than that, I couldn't guess anybody else.
She was probably looking at us like, y'all don't see Donny Osmond in this kid. Like, I was like, we couldn't talk, but I was all in the comments. And like, I finally joined Reddit because of the show. And it's like, just, I had to find some type of, cause I couldn't say nothing, just outlet or just reading comments or somebody who related to how I felt or that was going on. And, yeah, those comments was crazy. Like, people was like, these kids are crazy.
Yes. Yes. Now, how was that? Because it's kind of a unique experience being able to see like the social media reaction and stuff. And I know you have social media, obviously, and I found you while it was airing, but how did it, because you have your last name on there. So did anybody come to you or like DM you while the season was airing and say, I know who you are because I saw your last name or that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. People came to me. Yeah, because they kind of figured out. I was shocked that a lot of people didn't, though. You know, that was
yeah.
But that finale night, that's really when my social media just went crazy. Like, but before that, it was some sprinkles here and there. I was able to just, like I said, sit back and, you know, read the comments. And now, you know, even from the first episode when Carly was like, he's not yeah. even smart. You know, knowing what's going to happen in the end, but to read the comments of what people thought, like, you know, I remember something came on and it was like, I've wanted a himbo, and I'm like, oh, I'm a himbo. What's a himbo? And I looked it up, and it's like unintelligent, handsome man. It's like, oh, you ain't half of that, man. Uh-huh. Like, you know, but just to go on that ride, to just be like, I literally was like, I had to sit back and strap a seatbelt on and just be taken on the ride. I can't respond to none of this. People have their opinions. I can't say, just wait till the last episode. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
I had to strap the seatbelt on and go for the ride. And it was a one of a kind ride, man. I appreciate it. Wouldn't change it for the world. And I'm looking for more rides.
Yes. No, it's a good platform for sure. Now, how long ago, so compared to filming it and when it aired, how long was it in between?
Man, I think we left in like February mm-hmm. of 2023. Mm-hmm. And when it aired, like July, June-ish, I don't remember. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was summer, yeah.
I was shocked how quick that turnaround was. I was happy, like, you know, to just come home from and everybody asking questions. And it's like, you can't really explain, you know, imagine being on Claim the Fame. You can't, and nobody has watched the show. You can't really come home and explain Jane and explain Travis and explain, well, man, and I got, you know what I mean? You can, but it's like until you see and meet the characters of the house and put it up, like you don't really have a full understanding if I'm trying to explain it to you. Like, you know, I was in the house of 12 people, there was this dude named Travis, and there was, you know, and it's like almost you just gotta see it. So I was so happy that it came out. It felt like, you know, almost right away. It was just a few months in between, for sure.
Yes. And then, so realistically, how long were you there at the house? Was it really that? Was it each a week? Yeah. Because I know they do it in like weeks, but.
Yeah, like 4 weeks. Like every other day we was doing a challenge or, you know what I mean? Every 2 days there's a guest off getting somebody up out here. It was intense. It was definitely intense shooting. We didn't know what was coming next, you know what I mean? And every other day a fellow male family member is falling, so it's right. Like this while the cameras are on. So, you know, as you go to sleep, like, dang, maybe I shouldn't have did that. It's like at the same time, prepare for tomorrow because it's coming, you know. So yeah, it was definitely a fun ride.
Yes. No. Now obviously, you're used to being in Hollywood and that kind of stuff, but doing a reality show, especially like this, is unique. So how do you feel? Because you were there obviously the whole time. How does it feel being in that situation and having, do you ever feel like you're going crazy? Like, are there moments of that? Because there's cameras on you all the time. You have such a fast turnaround time, obviously, with like challenges and eliminations and, you know, every moment. Like, you don't know who to trust sometimes. Like, how is that feeling in your head?
One of the highest stressful situations I've been in. I mean, even just, like, leaving to go. You know, before we even got into the house, was probably sequestered.
Yes.
You know, in the room, in the hotel room for about 2 days straight. Just 48 hours. No phone, like, you know what I mean? They give us a countdown when they're taking their phone, so you're almost dreading this. Okay, y'all, we're gonna take the phones at 7 o'clock tonight, and it's like, dang, you're almost making your last phone calls, and it's like, and you know, you're gonna be gone for a month. So it's like, I can only liken it to, and I haven't done this, but I'm an actor and I put myself in people's shoes and I got cousins, but almost getting prepared for jail. It's like you're making your last phone calls, like you're making your last, and you know I'm going to be detached from the world. It's only a month, but it still is like, you know, you're trying to remember, dang, did I do everything? Did I call everybody? Is everything in order? What if this happens in week two and somebody need to get to me and then I don't know, or something, and then the, you know, the enemy starts to attack. And what if somebody gets in a car accident and they can't reach me? And just this wall of what ifs comes, you know, before you right. even take this journey, you know, I can't imagine being standing before with God before we ever entered life, and he's like, look, this is life. I'm showing you all of these, all the trees and all this. You want to be a part of that? And it's like, yeah, God. And then you go through this tunnel with life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. But that's what it really felt like, man. You was just preparing for the unknown. You know, this journey, this big journey, and it's the stakes are high. You know, there's a cash prize. And there's television exposure. And, you know, so I literally had a panic attack. I got so much more respect for, you know, mental health and prayer. You know what I mean? Because I was literally having panic attacks until I, you know, and y'all probably seen some episodes. I literally had to have my Bible out constantly reading, because if I wasn't, like, you know what I mean? It was so many other possibilities. It was so much other doubt that could set in. You know, you're focused on this goal. You came to win. Your whole family gonna watch. But you know what I mean? So it had to silence the noise. I almost had to, you know, zero in. And yeah, it was one of the biggest mental challenges also that I've ever had, for sure.
No, for sure. I can't even imagine. Obviously, you and Chris had a great relationship.
It's amazing. I don't want it to sound like,
oh no, no.
It was an amazing experience, though.
Yes.
You know, it was like, it was high stress. It's like, man, I could go home next. That stress was crazy. Like, you know what I mean? What challenge? Like, sometimes we would go past the windows of the house and we would see the production setting up the next challenges, and you see this big old slingshot. And it's like, what in the world are we about to be doing? And it's like, well, I'm about to get one of y'all. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was. No, no. It was, I can see. No, it looks amazing. It looks like so much fun. And the good thing is, I think it seems, compared to maybe even other shows, it's a lot more lighthearted as far as, like, there's a lot of fun moments. I think you can watch this show with the family. It's not like nothing too dark or anything like that. So I definitely, if I could do it, I think that would, if I was in that situation, oh my gosh, it looks so much fun. But the being the unknown part, it would stress me out too much.
No, it's definitely an amazing experience, for sure.
Yes. Now, you and Chris obviously were really close during the show, but you did have a little bit of a heated moment during the season. So why did you, what happened between you guys during that moment, and how were you able to kind of come back from that?
I'm going to be just all the way transparent with you. I don't even think I said this before. So there was more to that argument, and I'm going to put it on myself, right? I'm not going to accuse it. But I thought that on Sundays, there's days off, right? We have days off, and yes, we call it, we're on ice. We're not supposed to talk game. We're able to call home, you know what I mean, for about 5 minutes. But it's no game talk. It's no, we're playing cards all day, but, you know, we're not supposed to talk game. And I thought that I saw Chris showing Carson my clue on an off day. So if when you hear stuff like, man, he hit me when my guards were down, that's me saying, because, like, yo, we wasn't even playing a game. At least let's go to war on game day, baby. Like, don't try to figure my clue out when, you know what I mean, we singing Kumbaya and the production, the camera's not rolling. And, you know, there was days that, you know, those off days, those Sundays, and I thought I seen that. I ain't gonna get into the but it's like, you know. And so that's kind of what the argument was about. He was, and so for Chris coming telling me, like, yo, you know, I'm gonna tell you what I did. I, you know, Chris kind of felt like, yo, I'll tell you that I showed your clue before the off day even came. So I showed your clue right when we left out of the guest room. Like, so you thinking I saw your, showed your clue on an off day? Like, I had already showed it. Why would I show on an off day? That was his logic. My thing was like, man, if you showed her on the right when we left, of course you're showing her off date. I mean, y'all still trying to figure it out. And so that was the real meat. But to explain that without the footage, because most of it was done on an off day, you know what I mean? So, you know, that, you know, I kind of did see him showing the crew also, but, you know, kind of kept that to myself and wasn't going to say nothing. But I finally said something, you know, because it's like, well, I'll show you what I was really doing. And it's like, well, man, I saw you anyway. Like, you know what I mean? And that was it was deeper than that. I wasn't saying, oh, you hit me with my, we supposed to be friends. Though I did, like, yo, that's my boy. Like, man, I can't believe you. Like, you know, I understood we was playing a game. You know what I mean? Right. Like, yo, part of a game. And so my thing was like, man, don't hit me with my guards down. At least if you're going to beat me straight up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then, so after that happened, obviously you're together a lot. Did you just both kind of just calm down and realize later?
Oh, yeah. We knew it was bigger. You know, we had already connected on, you know, whoever we were related to. I like this guy. Like, we like each other. Like, we're going to connect in the industry. You know, me and Chris bonded after the first episode, the first the talent show, because Travis won, you know, because they was judging by audience applause, right? And so it was questionable between Travis and Chris, because they both, you know, a lot of people think Chris might have won. And I had jumped off of the stage, if you remember. And so when my thing registered, it was at the wrong time. I came back on stage and then raised my hand, but it had already registered my audience applause. But when they did it manually, me and Chris kind of got a lot of surprise, but it was already registered. There's lawyers involved. That's how they was judging it. So me and Chris kind of bonded on that. Like, dang, man, we felt we at least one of us should have won the talent show. And we glad we didn't, because the way it played out was perfect. But yeah, we bonded on so many different levels, even thinking that like maybe one of us should have won that first challenge, you know. So that was my guy through and through, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, okay, so when you won the final challenge in the finale, did you think that you had it all in the bag, that you were going to win because you really had a lot of control since you won that challenge? Or were you still worried that you might, that something might come through and, you know, something could go wrong still?
I was definitely worried after that that challenge with the lights and it, when they realized, like, yo, you're not, when that, I knew that time was coming, but I had more respect for what I seen everybody else go through being revealed, that panic that you might have seen Carly go through when somebody mentioned Tom Hanks, or, you know what I mean? Those type of, like, I have more respect for that moment after that game, because when I felt exposed, like, man, like, they gonna put these clues together. You know, Chris had, he had that baby clue, and it's like, I didn't think they were as far off as they really were. Like, you know, yes. What I mean? Thinking like, yo, man, my time is up around here. So winning that last challenge was a must for me. You know what I mean? That was one of the first times I questioned second place, to be honest, or third place. Like, dang, brother, you had a good run, baby. You did your thing. You know what I'm saying? You represented well, but you might not win this one. You know what I mean? I had to shake that thought off. You know what I mean? I know there's a bunch of those moments production didn't show me in doubt, for sure. But after I won that last challenge, it was just, we still got this in the bag. I was getting a lot more information on, you know, Monet. I had zeroed in on Chris. I kind of already had an idea of Chris. It's just nobody else was ringing with me. Like, you know what I mean? I couldn't get nobody else to say, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you know what I mean? So I've always had it, but, you know, really until Monet, that time we were sitting down brainstorming, was really when somebody else finally, you know what I mean, confirmed, okay, this is a good guess. You know what right. I mean? You know, and instead of me just putting it back in my pocket. But there was literal times, and it's crazy they cut it out, where I looked at Chris and I would leave the other room, and Chris would ask me, what do they have on me over there? And I literally looked at Chris like, man, nobody got nothing, man. The only person who got something is me. And I think the only person I could think of is Donny Osmond. And he said, who? And I said,
I see.
I don't even know who that is. Right. And we just kept, and I even told Chris my train of thought, and he played it off so well that it's like, man, like nothing was ringing for me. And so, yeah, man, it was crazy for sure.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. Now, did anyone ever at all come to you and guess who you were related to at all? Like, even at any part, did anyone do that to you where they asked you, like, and you had to pretend? Because that's hard to do.
Monet did for sure. Uh-huh. She came, she's like, I know who you are. She knew after that last challenge.
Oh, yes.
Because the challenge in the mud with the stars, she kind of started backing off of the athlete thing, you know, and she, because a lot of my crew she thought was hers, and she realized he can't be in the athlete world if he's ringing in a lot of stuff that my dad does, like, you know,
right.
She kind of, you know, but she, you know, we was playing so close with each other that she couldn't really share that or bounce that information off of anybody but me or JR, you know. And at that point, Shane was gone. And so she had already set herself up like, yo, I'm crushing everything moving that, you know, she couldn't really bounce it off of the others, you know, without betraying somebody. So, yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite challenge that you did on the show?
Man, I don't even know if I can say a favorite. I mean, the most unique. I got to put my head into a fish bucket and I still got to, they still smell like fish. Like, you know, I got to put on lie detector tests. They were all unique. I got to play the biggest telephone game I've ever played in my life.
Yes.
Like, so they were all unique. They were all challenging. They were all, even just to play, whether it be, you know, for some reason I kept end up being the captain, and, you know, even just the strategy of the team picking. You know, I remember one of the slingshot challenges, you know, I didn't pick Cole at first, and you know, Cole looked at me like, man, I thought you was gonna pick me first. And me realizing how terrible that was of a move that was, you know, Cole being an athlete, you know, being athletic, like, and not using, you know. And so at the end, when everybody came back to the house, you know, Cole was the first person I picked. Like, you know, people thought me and Cole had bad blood, or, you know, but there's many scenes where me and Cole had already done, like, yo, baby, what's happening? Like, you know, and was already pushing forward. So, you know, seeing him come back to the house was the first one I picked. So every challenge was unique. Every challenge I used to grow, to learn, you know, the group of people that was in the house, to, you know, I made mistakes. I was at the bottom, in the middle, never really in the middle, at the bottom or on the top, like, really no in between. But yeah, all of them was unique in their own way, for sure.
Yes. No, that makes sense. Okay, would you do anything different if you could go back? Is there anything? Or
not a step, because I might lose if I do something
right,
different.
That's true.
I would do everything the same, man. I think it played out perfectly. Like, I don't think I could have written it better. If it was me going on a show and I was just telling you the perfect way, like, I don't think I could have said, okay, on the first episode, I want the girl to call me dumb. And then it's like an oxymoron, because at the end, I'm going to win the show. Like, I don't think I could have pitched it that well. So I think the way God wrote it was perfect, for sure.
Yes. No, for sure. Besides yourself, because you obviously won, who would you say that, from watching it and stuff, who would you say the MVP of the game is, or was this past season?
Man, I gotta give it to Jerrica.
Yes.
Monet. I mean, because if I was afraid of anybody in that house, that was the one. Like, she was the one who came with it. She played one heck of a game. Chris played one heck of a game, but, you know, I think Monet was just, you know, she was fierce with it. So if it was an MVP, and you can't say me, I would definitely get me for sure.
Oh, yes. And you guys were the last two standing. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And then it's like, to be 100, like, without her, if that was anybody else, like, it might not have worked out that well for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like without, like, she helped me do what we helped each other do what we needed to do in that house, for sure.
Yes.
No, I hope too.
Who do you still keep in touch with from the show?
Man, everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. everybody, we're at the same stage, like the world kind of got a glimpse of us, you know what I mean? And we're all trying to figure it out, you know, Jane putting out music. I see Carly on a different commercial every day. Jane and Monet doing podcasts, fashion, all kinds of stuff. Chris putting out singles. Hugo still lifting weights, doing his thing. Olivia doing tats. I see Carson out there speed racing. She fashionable too. You know what I mean? So everybody is active, you know, and out there. So I think really, you know, all of them, man, we're all supporting each other, DMing each other, reposting each other stuff for sure.
Yes. No, I love that. I love the connection that you guys have. Now just outside of the show, so you obviously have music and stuff, what do you have going on outside that people can check out?
I just dropped a single on Christmas Eve, baby. It's called The Gray Area. There's a lot of things that I mean behind that, like, you know, the hook is, if I don't know you and I don't know me, you know what I mean? So it's basically just this gray area in the unknown and decision making, those crossroads in life and, you know, understanding, you know, just this gray area and growing up. And, you know, for me, one of the biggest concepts for me now is when your ceiling becomes your floor. Like, you know what I mean? What was your ceiling is now your floor. So, you know, you're going to a different level. And understanding that, understanding stewardship, the gray area, you know, when you're purging, when you're shedding, when, you know, it's that ugly growth, you know, when you're growing your hair or you're trying to get to a certain stage, but that gray area before you get there, before you reach there. So that's kind of what it's expressing. I'm just preparing, man, for the top of the year. I'm ready to work. I got a lot of television shows. I'm trying to pitch myself. I got a stack of stuff that I just want to get off, like, you know, expression, you know, whether it's television, film, music, commercials. I'm a writer at heart. So, you know, entertainment, I grew up in it. So it's like, it's now time to, you know, get from under the machine and create my own, baby.
Yes, no, for sure. For sure. And is there any other reality show that you would ever want to be on?
I want one with my family. I got brothers, man. I got, it's not just me and Nick, man. I'm the middle child of five boys. You know, it's five of us all together, man. And I think what ABC did just shed a little bit of light of what was in Nick Cannon's backyard. I mean, and that's just me. Like, it's more of us, man. My brother's got, you know, inventions and music. And I got a brother that's an R&B singer and one that's on the radio station and one that, you know, is a master in business and creating inventions and stuff, man. And, you know, just to see young men, like, you know, we actually are pitching a show with me and my brothers, you know. They try to make us like the Black Kardashians, Black male Kardashians. But, no, I won't say but it's more substance, man. We definitely push it, man. Like, you'll follow us in our toy giveaways. And, you know, as I go in the community and we mentor these young people and you see these juvenile, you know, who these hard-headed knuckleheads who we got to go and mentor and, you know, try to redirect their lives as we also then go to the studio and try to record music, but then also go and juggle your own home and your own kids. You know right. What I mean? It's newfound, you know, attention. So it's so much going on in the Cannon land. It's so many different names. Nick just popped out 12.
Yes.
Cannons out there, man. So for y'all to just, you know, tap in with us, get to know us, man. There's so many faces. You know what I'm saying? God bless us. A little bitch. You know what I mean? Come get to know us, baby.
Yes. Well, that would be awesome. That would be a great show for sure. Yes. Well, anyway, that's all I have, but thank you so much for doing this.
And I appreciate you so much, man. It's a pleasure, man. You remind me that, hey, man, I'm still popping, man. Because sometimes
you are.
You don't even remember the show happened, man.
No, for sure. No, definitely. No. Yeah, no, you were definitely my favorite. So I was like, I have to chat with him.
That means a lot, man. It just makes me tingle, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
That's a wrap for today's episode of Reality Talk with Jackson. Thanks for joining the conversation and keeping it real. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Reality Talk Podcast and on Twitter at JacksonSeth35 for even more behind-the-scenes content and updates. Stay tuned for more juicy reality TV interviews. And until next time, it's Jackson. See you guys later.